I'm confused. Maybe we should know more about what it is that makes a citizen and what rights are afforded to citizens. But Ron DeSantis and some other Republicans right now are talking about birthright citizenship. DeSantis says if he becomes president, part of his plan to stem immigration problems would be to eliminate birthright citizenship. We called Susan Zesch again, the professor at the University of Chicago. She teaches classes on human rights. She's also an attorney of counsel at Hughes, Sokol, Piers, Resnick, and Dim. So she's an attorney in town, also teaching at the U of C, and has spent her career in issues of immigration. Susan, welcome back to the show. We appreciate your time. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me back.
Tell me a little bit about birthright citizenship. What is that and why is it in the news?
Yeah, well, it's in the news because I think Ron DeSantis wants to throw some red meat to his base. But what is it is a pretty long story. It comes from the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which was passed right after the Civil War and after the abolition of slavery. And Congress wanted to make a very clear statement about who post-slavery was a citizen of the United States. And they apparently negotiated over the language for a long time and what was going to be in this amendment. But they decided the very first sentence was all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. So they made a universal right to citizenship for any baby born within the territory of the United States. Now, there are other things about citizenship, like what about the children of U.S. citizens born outside the U.S. and the whole scheme of naturalization? If you come here as a foreigner, how can you get to be a citizen? And we can talk about those later. But the birthright citizenship provision is very, very clear.
Is it irrespective of the legal status of the parents?
Yes. Absolutely. It's meant to apply to all children. And that issue first came up in the Supreme Court in 1898. So let me give a little bit of background about that period. Starting in the 1880s, Congress started to pass a series of laws to limit the rights of citizens of China to immigrate to the United States. And they even passed laws that made Chinese who had immigrated legally and had status subject to being excluded again. If they went home, their visas would be invalid. If they were still living in the U.S., they had to recertify their right to stay here with the testimony of two white citizens. In other words, a bunch of laws to try to limit immigration from China and get rid of Chinese immigrants who are already here. In the middle of that period, a case came up in front of the Supreme Court of the child of two Chinese citizens who had been born in the U.S., grew up here, went home to China to see his grandparents, apparently, and on the way back into the U.S., the U.S. government said, oh, no, you can't be a birthright citizen. Your parents are the hated Chinese who aren't eligible to naturalize, who have limited time to be here, et cetera. It was about as anti-immigrant and restrictionist a period, as you can imagine, all focused on the Chinese. But the Supreme Court said, no, you are still a U.S. citizen. Wang King Ark had been born in the U.S., and the Supreme Court in 1898, in the middle of the anti-Chinese hysteria, said, no, the 14th Amendment's very clear. All persons born or naturalized. And so they held that he was a citizen. So if the children of the Chinese, who were very disfavored in that period, were considered to have a right to birthright citizenship, that's still good law today.
It does, though, beg the question if, and maybe this will sound crazy to you, but I can understand how the dots get connected. If immigrants come into the United States and then have a child in the United States, while maybe they would have to leave, the child could stay indefinitely. The child is a U.S. citizen. So birthright citizenship is part of the draw. It's a magnet for part of the problem that we're trying to get rid of. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think social science research, and as you know, there's been tons of it about why do people come to the United States, places the question of having a baby here, it's not the highest motivation. Of course, every immigrant parent wants their children to do better. That's the story of my family. That's the story of probably the families of many of your listeners. But usually people are coming because life has become unbearable in their home countries for them, either for economic reasons or political reasons, and they're trying to find some place where they will feel safer and be better off. So this idea of, you know, coming in pregnant to drop a baby and then leave doesn't really work. But it's true. Immigrants want their children to have better lives than they did. And having the opportunity to grow up in the U.S. would be something.
The list of people who we know who are citizens of the United States, but not via traditional means. John McCain, Colin Powell's name comes up when you Google birthright citizenship as somebody who benefited from the 14th Amendment as we know it today.
Well, no, it's not. No, they're not benefiting from the 14th Amendment. Here's where it gets a little tricky. The 14th Amendment only grants birthright citizenship if you're born in the U.S., you're a citizen. Born outside the U.S., U.S. citizen parents like John McCain and my niece and nephew who were born in Vienna, Austria, where my sisters lived for 30 years, it's Congress that you can be a U.S. citizen, but it's Congress that determines that. In other words, that's not a constitutional right. Congress decreed a long time ago that extraterritorial birth to a U.S. citizen parent allows you to be a U.S. citizen. But they put in an interesting limitation on it. My niece and nephew, who are now in their 20s and live in Vienna, Austria, are U.S. citizens. They're also Austrian citizens. But their children will not be U.S. citizens. We don't allow that right to be passed on indefinitely. So it gets more and it used to be that women, U.S. American citizen women who married foreigners would lose their citizenship. So there's a lot of stuff that Congress can do about people getting citizenship, except for the birthright citizenship.
Wait a minute. So your niece and nephew who were born in Austria, two Americans, were their parents Americans?
American, my sister's. Their dad's Austrian.
Okay, so the mother is an American. They're born in Austria, but they're naturally going to be citizens because their mother was, but they weren't born in the United States. Now, when they have kids, if those kids aren't born in the United States, say, their children won't be U.S. citizens.
That's right. Unless my nephew had come here for a certain number of years before, I think that they're 25 years old. I'd have to look that up. In other words, we want children born to U.S. citizens who don't have any experience living in the United States to not be our citizens. Now, Ireland and Italy do this differently. You can claim Irish and Italian citizenship for generations. They're not as jealous about it. The U.S. wants to say, if you're going to be born abroad and it was just your grandparent who was a citizen, you don't get it unless your parents had some of their education in the United States so that they could transmit American culture to you, even though you're growing up in Austria.
Well, then
it gets real detailed and kind of into the weeds.
More so than I think a lot of us thought. We're talking to Susan Zesch, who's a professor at the U of C and also a private attorney who practices with immigration law, can you tell? So then it does sort of get to the point that, okay, so it's not as concrete as one might assume at first blush. There are nuances to citizenship. And if I just may, so perhaps if in the name of immigrant status or the immigration situation, the rules could stand some tweaking. Maybe it does make sense. Even if it's not going to stem the tide, maybe it just makes sense on its face to deny citizenship to people that come here, I'll say illegally.
Okay, so here's the children.
The children of those people, yeah.
Yeah, no, the children, this is why I'm trying to say there really is kind of a bright line or a protective aura around 14th Amendment birthright citizenship. One thing that Congress has done over the years, which they have the constitutional power to do, is change the rules on naturalization. So which immigrants, even immigrants who come here legally, can become citizens, Congress can limit that if they wanted,
really?
If they want to. And sadly, from 1882 until 1943, Chinese citizens, even who came legally to the United States, were not allowed to naturalize eventually to become U.S. citizens. Chinese were excluded from being able to naturalize.
I'm sorry to hear that, and I suppose now that might be true of Venezuelans or Mexicans if we had our way. We meaning maybe some populist sentiment in this country. But our listener at 847 says, please ask her, how could DeSantis bring this plan into effect? How could this happen? Is there an appetite for it, and is there a way?
Well, John, you're pretty good at asking stump the professor questions, but I think this one has a pretty clear answer. DeSantis would have to get a constitutional amendment.
He would.
And getting a constitutional amendment is, on purpose, a very complicated process. It requires that each House of Congress, the House and the Senate, pass the new amendment by a two-thirds majority, and then the amendment has to be ratified by three-quarters of the state legislatures. Those of us who are old enough to remember Illinois in 1974, the attempt to put an equal rights amendment in the Constitution died here because the Illinois legislature wouldn't pass it. And it's a long and complicated process. It's a serious uphill battle. You might look at, you know, there have been a couple of attempts to say this clause that says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens, by saying, oh, no, the undocumented aren't subject to the jurisdiction. But that's gone through federal courts a number of times, and they have pretty consistently held that not subject to the jurisdiction refers only to Indian tribes and diplomats. So I think it would be a steep and difficult hill for DeSantis, were he elected president of the U.S. and have this on his agenda, to be able to realize his goal.
I don't see how the United States benefits by limiting citizenship to people that, albeit come here without proper documentation, perhaps they claim asylum, but then they have a child here. Any person born in the confines of the United States is a citizen automatically. We don't care about the status of your parents. That's long been my understanding, and that is the case today. And if that seems a little convoluted or inappropriate, I still don't understand what that fixes if we change it. Don't we need migrants in this country right now?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, we talked about this last week when we were talking about whether migrants can get employment authorization, that we need workers and we need immigrants, partly because we're an aging population and also because there are certain sectors of our economy that have traditionally been the place where immigrant workers with their energy have been: food sector, hospitality, restaurants, et cetera. And the limitation of immigration during COVID, certainly, and still a bit in the aftermath, has hurt our labor market, or has made our labor market in need of workers. We just are having shortages in certain sectors, and immigrants are the most likely people to fill those jobs.
One last question for you, Susan. My understanding is that these migrants are less likely to commit crimes than the native population. Is that true? Do you have any information on the stats on that?
I would just have to say, on a general level, I don't have the sociology and criminology evidence right in front of me, but I think that is generally true. I can't cite you the study right now, but everything I've read shows that. Plus, immigrants are employed at higher rates than U.S. citizens. You know, it's like all working, because that's the only way they're going to survive.
Well, so, that's why they showed up. And it also makes me, though, we don't have time for this here. I've got about 60 seconds left. But so then, do we give them driver's licenses? Do we afford them insurance? J.B. Pritzker says we can't afford to give them medical care anymore. I mean, if we grant their children birthright citizenship, fine. But how do we accommodate this population? What do we grant them? Those are fair questions.
Yeah, I mean, one of the simple answers is I want everybody to have a driver's license and car insurance in Illinois in case they hit me. I want to be able to find them and collect some damages. But these are a bunch of complicated problems. Let's talk about them in a future show.
That's Susan Zesch. Nice to talk to you, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.